Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Hero bangs it down, and the exclamation point to get us to halftime.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, too many free, uncontested opportunities.
Mobley, right to Mobley. Oh my goodness, Evan Mobley with a world-class finish has a chance for the three-point play.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Morrissey retreats. Van Riemsdyk is still up in the play. Lost his hockey stick. Nice pass. Ovechkin.
Yeah. Scores! Alex Ovechkin, 889.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
What is happening? Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy hump day.
Welcome in. I'm Dirt, that's Swag. What's going on? How did the Beaver game go last night?
What a glorious night at Hillsborough Ballpark.
What a beautiful day.
Ah, it's great.
I'm within walking distance of a park now. We were down there a couple of times. It looked like Woodstock yesterday.
Yep.
It's like, then I had to remind myself, like, oh, that's right, it's spring break. Because my initial thought is like, does nobody have a job?
No, it's spring break. It's spring break.
It's 11 a.m.
That's why Sprager's not here.
It's spring break.
We did hear from him.
He did, yeah.
He ain't coming back Friday.
He didn't want to come back.
I guarantee he won't be here on Friday.
He doesn't want to come back. He's doing the whole, I'm staying in bed, which, why wouldn't you? The weather's probably delightful. It's gorgeous over in Central Oregon this time
of
year.
If there was some old-timey sports radio station that like was totally old school,
you go do that,
and they had one afternoon like thing.
Yeah.
And we did like local high school stuff.
Call a Ben football game on a Friday night.
Summit versus Mountain View.
I got like 30 high schools over there now. The area's grown
much. There's like five. Settle down.
I know
there was only two when we were growing up.
Back in the day, there was one or two. Yeah. Now it's Drew Bledsoe over there with all of his wine, just growing football prodigies left and right.
I think Ridgeview is the newest one.
Is that the newest one out there?
Yeah, Summit's no longer the new one.
I still have an axe to grind against Mountain View. They knocked us out of the state playoffs back in my day.
Oh.
Mountain View knocked us out. Second round of the state playoffs.
I think we beat them. No, that was something different. We played a Eugene area school.
Well, back in those days, if you played a Bend or a Eugene school, you kind of knew it because there weren't that many of them. And now there's a lot more. And you're like, oh, that's right. I got to keep track of all these. It's kind of like the Clackamas area when I was growing up. There was
Clackamas and Oregon City.
That was it. That's all you had.
And then there was Malala.
And now there's...
Malala was actually at the big school level. They joined our league.
There you go.
They were miserable.
Welcome to the club, Malala.
Yeah.
You're going to get your teeth kicked in every game.
Oswego, Lake Ridge, Westland, Oregon City, Putnam,
fun
Clackamas.
With that.
They did not enjoy their stay there.
Probably got a win or two over Milwaukee back in the days of the old Three Rivers
League.
That
was when their gym burned down. We had to play them at Clackamas Community College.
Because their gym burned down?
Yeah, their gym burned down.
Holy hell, that's not a good thing. Well, it sounded like a delightful night out at Hillsborough Ballpark. I did see Beaver fans complaining about the parking. You know, you got to find something to complain about.
I'm going to back the Hops kids.
Is this on them? Is this on the attendees?
Yeah, there was plenty of notification. Also, in case you haven't like read the news at all lately, there has been a stadium being built for quite some time.
A little bit of construction going on out there.
And it's pretty obvious. So
it's going to take a little bit longer to get in.
And they told me, though, there were still empty parking stalls in the back lots.
What are we doing?
So
there's spots available,
now,
people.
The points of entry are limited, yes.
Now, how much of that has to do with the people like, you know, our Costco parking debate, where sometimes if I go into a parking lot, I don't even try to look in the front. I'm just going, like, I know there's a back lot. I know there's going to be a spot available. I'm okay walking an extra 5 minutes.
I don't know. You know, we still had people, you know, driving up. You can see
the car line coming
from the press box. We look out on the road that goes by the dog park and the
right.
fire station out there. And yeah, they were still rolling in 6:30, 6:40 trying to get there. Maybe they thought it was a 7 o'clock start, didn't realize it was a 6:05 start.
Oopsies, turn on your radio and you're like,
but,
wait a minute.
But for the crowd that was there, it was a glorious night and the Beavs took care of business.
Got a dub.
It was a true Tuesday night game, so I think they used 7 pitchers overall.
Yeah,
but,
just going burning through some arms.
Oh, the bullpen's got some dudes.
It is funny how the weather will do that, because I was sitting around yesterday in the evening and I did find myself, because of how nice the weather was, I found myself wanting to watch baseball, and I ended up watching Giant spring training.
Oh, there
baseball.
You go. It was the last spring training game. For
last
really.
Spring
Everybody's
training game.
Traveling today.
Today's your travel day.
Settled in.
Opening day is
and then
tomorrow.
Opening day tomorrow.
Yep.
Now Sprague's not here, but do we need to make our fearless division?
We'll make
World
our
series picks.
Picks. We'll make our. I don't know about divisions, but we'll make our. How about our ALCS NLCS
okay.
matchups,
alrighty.
And then our World Series matchups.
Go.
So we'll do that on the show tomorrow. I'm very excited about opening day. The weather just kind of reminds you, you're like, that's right. I know
now,
it's going to go back to crap.
It's going to be, if you have a garage, I'm told to, I did a little, you know, the severe thunderstorms, possibly
could be
two
today
in the afternoon,
which would be pretty cool.
Golf ball size hail.
Oh, holy hell.
1.5 to 2 inch hail potentially somewhere in the valley.
I didn't realize it was
possibly
that bad.
A tornado.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We got some funky weather coming today.
Because it's supposed to get cold again.
Yeah, like starting tomorrow.
Highs in the 40s.
Yeah, it's going to cool off. But today's supposed
and
to be
so
warm.
And so when you have such a drastic change in pressure, I should wake up. If Papa Swag is up early, he
yeah,
can
yeah, let's get him on
this.
The horn. Let's get him talking about why we're going to have golf ball size hail. That's a little concerning.
So yeah, so that was some of the things I read watching all the weather things. So I guess this afternoon. So if you have a garage or a cover
go.
Parking area for your car.
Move it in.
Probably want to do that. I'm a little concerned.
It's a little terrifying.
My particular vehicle.
The old electric vehicle is going to get pelted
we'll
today.
See. I don't need another windshield issue.
No, it's not fun to deal with. I will say, if we can avoid, obviously, tornadoes, let's try and not have a tornado.
Yeah, we don't need that.
That would not
golf
be cool.
Golf ball size hail.
Golf ball size hail. I'm out on the golf ball size hail. Let's
just
try to avoid
that. Your run-of-the-mill thunderstorm is always a little exciting.
I'm a huge fan of the thunderstorm.
So, yeah.
If there's one weather pattern that I wish we could get more often, it is thunderstorms. Like, having a nice thunderstorm
yeah,
roll
when you're in Colorado, Kansas,
yeah,
like 4
dude.
O'clock in the afternoon.
Middle of the summer.
Swirls up.
Yeah.
Boom. You
Ooh.
Get like dumps rain for 20 minutes.
Everything gets wet and
clears
it's done.
The air. Then yeah. the sun comes back out at 5 o'clock and everybody's ready for the evening.
You get that kind of hot rain smell.
Little,
I love that hot rain smell.
A little
you get,
sticky.
Yeah, a little sticky out. Big fan. We don't get enough thunderstorms
You're
in this region.
A big fan of the sticky.
I'm a big fan of the sticky, man.
Nice.
Who doesn't like it when it's a little sticky
Well, we know
out?
Sprague loves the sticky.
He's a big fan of the sticky.
Yeah.
Loves the sticky. So everybody had some fun in the weather yesterday. I was reminded just walking around with how nice it was. It put me into the nostalgia lane of thinking back to, now I don't know if this was the way, you were a Pacific Lutheran bro? Is that your college of choice?
Oh, hell no.
Where'd you go?
I went to UPS.
That's right, UPS,
rival.
Puget Sound, that's right, my apologies.
Give a hoot, blank a loot, let's go.
That's right. I'm assuming it was this way back at the old UPS days.
Okay.
But it reminded me of the first day you get. Now, this week would be a little bit different because it is spring break, so I feel
right.
bad for the college bros out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not on campus, you missed it.
Oh.
But there was no better day throughout the calendar year in
the
college.
The first 70-degree day?
Yes.
Yeah, we
when
called
everybody's
it the opening
there,
of G&T season.
And you're just like, oh, my God. You look around, you're like, there's
yep.
ladies everywhere.
We
everybody's
were right
outside.
From the Alpha Phi house. And
they're probably
the,
all out on the front yard, front lawn.
Well, you have to walk across. We were across the street from the main campus, so people were walking by, so we would haul a couple of couches from the chapter
we're
out there.
Sitting outside.
Somebody had, you remember before there was all digital stuff,
yeah.
the old flip cards to like judge diving?
Yes.
somebody had some of those.
They walked by. You hold the card. That's a 7.
8.5.
That's an 8. That's an 7. Oh, 10. There's a 10. We got a 10. Yes. It just reminded me of that yesterday with how nice it was.
Be more bro-y.
No, it's not. I mean, look, there's a lot of things we're not proud of in the past. You know, there's.
But damn, we had a good time.
We did. Well, it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. The scenery was just wonderful. I mean, just.
The first day the sundresses came out.
Reminded me of that yesterday, walking around, old, you know, my one-year-old now in a stroller and a dog on the hip, and let's go for a walk. Not quite the same as it used to be, but...
Yeah, you just got to pick the right neighborhood.
Back then it was...
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Nobody, Jim. Nobody. What a great memory yesterday. Hope you enjoyed the weather, and hopefully we don't get tornadoes.
Oh, my God, a lot of stuff happened yesterday, which was supposed to be a quiet day in between NCAA tournaments. Stuff. Yeah. We're waiting for the start of Major League Baseball season, and then all of the breaking news things started.
It was all over the place. I had a bunch of stuff that I was going to get to on the show, like tournament notes. Let's start peekabooing into the Sweet 16. Ooh, some great nuggets out
maybe.
Of... we're not going to get to hardly any of it today. No. I might get one tournament segment in at some point today, but everything else was kind of shoved to tomorrow's show.
What caused you to do the biggest double take?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably the Damian Lillard news. That had to have been it. The Damian Lillard news, I mean, it sucks. And we'll get to it today on the show. But he is essentially out for the rest of the year. We'll see. There's no answer.
He started treatment and nobody wants to say anything. Because
I mean, there's like 9 games to go in the regular season. So, look, the playoffs go on forever. Maybe Giannis carries him to a first-round win and you're back second round. I don't know how long that's going to take, but... they're saying indefinitely. That was really tough news. I want to talk about that today because we'll even get to some, you know, Bobby Marks had some quotes on, is this the end of the Dame Giannis era if he's done for the rest of the year? I think the only hope Milwaukee had of doing anything was the two of them being healthy in the playoffs. Yeah. Giannis was not healthy last year in the playoffs. Now it looks like Dame might not be healthy this year. So,
well, Dame missed a couple of games too.
He did. They were both banged up.
6 games.
Yeah, and they lost in the first round, and so that sucked to hear because I think we are here locally rooting for that guy to do something. So we'll get to that at some point on the show today. Tyson Alger is going to join us. A tale as old as time. Sprague's out. I need to book a guest. Who do I go to? This will be funny. We can joke about this with Tyson. So I tried for a recruiting guy. I don't do a lot of the guest booking on the show. That's you and Sprague's strength and forte. So I don't have a lot of contacts in my phone.
I thought, though, doing like duck pregame and stuff, you might have...
I've stumbled across some, like, sideline reporters for... Like, I got Wayne Cook's phone number from UCLA, that kind of stuff. But we don't need Wayne Cook on the show tomorrow.
No.
It doesn't really help us in, you know, at the end of March and March Madness. I don't have a lot of those kind of contacts. So I was trying for a recruiting guy. Weather was nice. I texted somebody, tried to get him on. They didn't get back to me. Next thing you know, you're outside for 4 hours, and you're like, wait a minute, I haven't booked a guest. Then I thought, how about Nimick? Let's talk to Nimick. Nimick says to me, hey, I'm out having some cocktails with coworkers. I don't feel like waking up early in the morning. Can I go Thursday? I say, all right, fine. That's no problem. We'll book you Thursday. Now that's all set. Nimick will be on the show tomorrow. And then I'm just scrolling, and I'm like, yep, I know who I'm going to.
Go.
And I'm not kidding you. I sent him a text, just said, hey, you want to hop on mañana? And within 4 seconds, we broke a record, a Guinness Book of World Record for the fastest book guest in the history of guest booking. It's like, boom, he was just waiting for the call. The bat signal went up, boom, Tyson answered. That's why we got him on.
He must have been listening earlier in the week and New Sprague was out.
I think he was waiting for that text. Waiting, just knowing at some point this week we're going to need Tyson. So
he's at 8:30?
He is at 8:30. Right. I was generous to him. I'm not going to make him wake up at 7:30.
No.
And so I gave him an extra hour of sleep. You're welcome, Tyson. He'll join us coming up at 8:30. We'll talk, you know, actually... I want to get to the Timbers a little bit with him. He covers the Timbers now.
Yes.
That's his new, you know, he's got Ducks. He's got other stuff he's doing. Timbers is one of his strengths now that he's covering at the I-5
Border.
They got
a big road win last weekend. They got a Sunday night home
tilt. Like that was a very big and necessary win early in the year.
Well, scored more than one goal. So.
That's a good, hey, we're progress, right?
Yep.
So he'll join us at 8:30. He was also up in Seattle for the Oregon-Arizona game and the Oregon-Liberty game, and so we'll get his thoughts on that at the end of the Duck basketball season. So he'll join us coming up at 8:30. The Blazers played a game last night. I know you missed it because you were working. Played the Cavs.
I was keeping track of the score, and it pretty much looked like, you know.
It was exactly how I thought it would go. They were feisty, and then didn't
have enough. Cleveland's best player didn't play.
No, they did not. Donovan Mitchell was not in the lineup.
And they still had six guys score double figures, three of them over 20.
Thank God for the Cleveland Cavaliers handing us two losses here in the last couple of weeks. Greatly appreciate their efforts.
Because the Mavs got it handed to them on the back end of a
doubleheader. Yeah, going to Madison Square Garden.
Saw that one coming.
I'm looking at the standings the other way now. The Miami Heat got a win yesterday. Now, they beat Golden State, which we'll get to, because it was the return of Jimmy Butler. San Antonio lost, so that didn't help us. Miami getting a win and Portland getting a loss, that's beneficial in the standings. So talk a little bit about that. New York's getting spicy. That happened yesterday. Just out of, like, what?
Spicy.
What the hell are the Giants doing?
Mr. Unlimited.
Does anybody have any idea what the hell the Giants are doing?
It's a one-year deal. Like,
I know. They already got Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson has to be the most interesting quarterback room.
Oh, they still got Tommy Cutlets there, too.
And they still got Tommy Cutlets. Yeah. I can't wait till Ryan Cooley makes his appearance after spring break, the new boss. When he comes strolling in,
I think he's looking at, what did somebody say on the show before us? The March to Arch.
The March to Arch. That's what the Giants are on. Russell Wilson will lead you in that direction. So we got all of a sudden a ton to get to on the show today. Let me see what I got in my notes. What should we start with? It's kind of a dealer's choice, if you will. How about the first bit of breaking news that happened right after we got off the air yesterday? This is the first time it's ever happened in college football. And I found it interesting. The reversal of a course. Is it still a good job? We'll start there. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks for being with us on 1080 The Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I got Rod Hill on my TV in here telling me, take shelter. Hopefully you got your bunkers ready to go today. Could get wild. Let's start with something that happened right after we got off the air yesterday. And I find it interesting because this is the first time this has ever happened in college athletics. Not the firing of a head coach. I don't think that surprised anybody. We've talked about Troy Taylor and Stanford here in the last week. He was under investigation for his treatment of female staffers.
Yeah, you can't tell the compliance department to go pound sand.
You cannot do that. That's usually not a good thing, especially at a university like Stanford, and especially when your record is 6-18. Had your record been 18-6, maybe the pound sand argument makes sense.
Right.
He's a loser, and he's telling them to pound sand.
Yeah.
Double negative. Going to lead to probably losing your job. Stanford, up until yesterday, had been supportive of Troy Taylor, and the person behind the messaging here, and this is where it gets interesting, is Andrew Luck.
Yeah, he's now the general manager.
He's the general manager of Stanford football.
Stanford football.
Do you know why he had to be the one who fired Troy Taylor? They don't have an athletic director.
Oh.
Their athletic director resigned at the end of the, or, you know, stepped away, I don't know what the word was.
Yeah.
He left his job at the end of the last term, which for them was on February 25th.
Oh, man.
So they have gone a month. They're in the process of trying to find a new – they don't have an athletic director right now. And so for the first time, this is a new growing role in college athletics, the general manager role. It's interesting. We can talk to Tyson about this later. But Dana Altman was asked about this at his exit meeting or his exit interviews, exit press, whatever. And he was asked, hey, Oregon basketball doesn't have a general manager. And he's pushing back against it. He said, I got enough experience on my staff. I've been doing this long enough. We don't need somebody to oversee all that stuff. So some coaches don't want this person to oversee things. Basketball, a little bit different than football.
It's a little bit of a power thing.
It absolutely is. It's a GM and a coach thing in the NFL.
It's a GM and a coach, definitely. Who's picking the players, that sort of stuff. But I think you will definitely have to find... You have to then, as the head coach, if you're going to be in charge of the program, you better have some guys on your staff that are paying attention to the recruiting piece of it and portal activity and NIL that you absolutely trust, so that when you go sit down in a room and they come to you as like, here's who's available, here's who's vulnerable, you know,
here's
that
what they
sort of
want,
thing,
here's what we need.
You know, you can get to the point. So I think there's different ways to do it. I don't think one model is better than the other, but you got to have enough people and enough support staff at the higher institutions so you can cover everything, because until the sport decides to set things up like the professional leagues, where there's a window for each little piece of the business.
Yes.
If stuff overlaps and stuff's chaos and it's everybody, you know, all the time, no one person can do it all.
No. I mean, there was a great
or
quote.
Do it well.
Exactly. This happened in college football at the end of the year. Everybody pointed out how ridiculous it is that the playoff was going on as the portal window opened. Exactly. And what's happening in college basketball right now?
Yeah, chaos.
It's the Sweet 16 and the portal's
at
open.
At least a quarter, if not getting close to a third, of
it's
scholarship
insanity.
Players who played college basketball. So there's 365 teams. If there's 13 scholarships, I think my math was like 4,725 scholarships. Athletes and
by
over
check,
1,200
it was,
have hit the portal so
it's
far.
An insane number. Tom Izzo had a great quote on that yesterday where he was asked about the portal and, hey, you're getting ready for the Sweet 16.
Get that for you if
and
you
he basically was like, look, I'm in the Sweet 16, man.
Yeah.
I this might bite us down. I'm not recruiting. I don't care. I'm focused on we got a game this week. We're hopefully going to win and go to the Elite Eight. Like, if this hurts me down the road, it hurts me down the road. I can't focus on two things at the same time. So I love the honesty from Izzo on that quote. But this is interesting because it's the first time. It's a new role in college athletics, mainly college football. Some basketball programs have these as well. And it's the first time we've seen a GM fire a head coach in college athletics. And so the quote from Andrew Luck yesterday, there's a couple of tentacles of this story. He wrote in a statement from Stanford Athletics, he said, since beginning my role as general manager, I've been thoroughly assessing the entire Stanford football program. It has been clear that certain aspects of the program need change. Additionally, in recent days, there has been some significant attention to Stanford investigations in previous years related to Coach Taylor. After continued consideration, it is evident to me that our program needs a reset. In consultation with university leadership, I no longer believe that Coach Taylor is the right coach to lead our football program. So the tentacles of this are a couple. One, this is likely going to lead to a lawsuit. They're trying to fire him for cause, I would imagine. But this also reeks of, you didn't fire him and you were privately supporting him before the story became public. Then the story comes public. Everybody's looking at Stanford saying, hey, wait a minute. This guy's not treating staffers right. You're backing him, and there is a media scrutiny. All of a sudden, you fire him out of the blue on
Tuesday.
Well,
it's only a lawsuit if they don't buy out whatever's left on his contract.
Which I would imagine they're going to try to, but I don't know how that's all going to play out.
Stanford's got more money than they know what to do
They
with
do,
it, so.
But if they feel like they don't have to spend a couple, I don't know what his buyout, I can see if I can find that.
I can't imagine it's backbreaking.
I can't imagine either, but I would, if you would ask Stanford, hey, would you want to save a couple of $1 million? I would think that they would say yes. So I'll try and find what the buyout is. But that is the first kind of tentacle of this. The second one, and just from a pure athletic standpoint, this, again, I'm going to follow through with why it's interesting in the first place. Not just that a head coach got fired of a former Pac-12 school, and Stanford has been one of the better programs of the last, you know, 15 or so years, right? Yep. Going back to Harbaugh. You're now likely, unless something changes in the short term, you're going to have a GM hire the first head coach. Andrew Luck came out and said, we're not opposed to having an interim guy for the year, which, good luck with that. But also, spring ball's going on right now.
Yeah.
So that's not an easy thing to figure out. How many of their guys are going to hit the portal? I don't know how good their team was going to be next year, but probably not great. But they might have a couple of guys who could look to transfer out of this. So that's one ramification. But then there's just also the thought of, like, what is Stanford football in the future? He was there for 2 years, and by no means was Stanford in a great spot at the end, you know, at the end of the era. But him coming in 3-9 in year one, David Shaw was the name I was looking for there. At the end of David Shaw, 3-9 in year one, 3-9 in year two. 1 year in the Pac-12, 1 year in the ACC. He was 4-13 in conference play. there's always going to be a certain, you know, segment of kid, I would imagine, that would be interested in attending Stanford for the academic prestige of it.
Yes.
But it's just a fascinating job for me of where are they at in NIL? If this whole house settlement goes through and that's where we're going, does that boost their stock a little bit? Can this ever turn back into the job that it once was? Because right. Now we have gone for Stanford being, you know, one of the main foes of Oregon for many years in the Pac-12, and it seemingly for a long time was between one of those two teams winning the conference every year. You're now on an extended stretch of bad Stanford football, and I'm just really curious how that job is, because I don't know how to feel about it. I see both sides of the argument. Yeah. The ACC thing doesn't make any sense to me. I understand why they were looking for a life raft, but ultimately, the travel and the conference affiliate, like that, just that's dumb to play in the Atlantic Coast Conference when you're based on the Pacific Ocean. So that whole thing is weird. And with a head coach opening, you're going to have a general manager hire the first head coach in college football.
That's going to be weird. I wonder. There's still some people that think Andrew Luck might be wearing a headset at some point.
I mean, if I were in Stanford University, like if I was a president down there or something, I would tell him, like, why don't you take this job?
Yeah.
I know you probably don't want to coach, but he would be a good coach, I would imagine.
It's an interim thing.
He's a brilliant football mind.
Until they get an athletic director in there and some other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're going, the last time they won more than four games in a season was 2018.
Ah,
that was seven years ago. Like, that's... Yeah. And they went 4-8, then the COVID year 4-2, 3-9, 3-9 the last 2 years under David Shaw, and then 3-9 the first 2 years under Troy Taylor. So
it's
first bombshell of the day yesterday. Troy Taylor was canned.
Hard to watch an entire sport as big as it is go through a complete revolution.
Yeah.
In real time.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Because you have the other thing too, and college basketball gets roped in. So that St. Francis team that was in the play-in game.
They're going down a level.
They are dropping to Division III.
They don't want
to
be Division I anymore.
That's Linfield, George Fox, Lewis and Clark level.
And you're going to have a lot of those schools that do it because they don't have the money and they don't want a revenue share with their players.
Curious, you know, if you drop all the way down. So there's no academic scholar or athletic scholarships at the Division III level. They have academic scholarships and grants that you can apply for depending on the school. And I just 365 Division I college basketball program seems egregious as to where things are going and the consolidation of top players and money.
And also how you're going to have to pay these guys and what when all that stuff goes through this summer. So there's a lot of loose ends in college athletics right now. We'll get to another side of this, of, you know, a conversation about ratings and the thought of, is this bad for college athletics? We'll get to that coming up in the final hour. But this was the first big bombshell. I get home yesterday. Just kind of, all right, let's start putting a show sheet together. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Troy Taylor got canned at Stanford. Not surprised.
Probably overdue to fire him. But, the how is the interesting part here.
Yes. And is it for cause? Is there a buyout? If there's not a buyout, is there a lawsuit? And then what the hell? Spring ball's underway. You got to go find a new coach, a new staff. Players can now hit the portal because the coach got fired. It's an interesting time down there, and Andrew Luck has taken over as general manager. For the first time in college athletics, we have a general manager firing a head coach, and likely, unless they get an athletic director in the meantime, but I don't know where that process is at, we might have our first hiring by a general manager in college athletics, and Andrew Luck is going to be that guy. Speaking of coaches, I did want to get to something coming up next, because I'm seeing a lot of quotes out there currently. Tournament's going on. A lot of people bemoaning the system, and I don't blame them at all for doing that. Seems a little hypocritical in this fashion. So I want to talk about that coming up next.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And then you find
your phone disconnected. So everybody's complaining about the state of college athletics. I get it. It's not perfect. You know, text at the fan text line. College football needs to be reduced down to about 60 teams. The rest move down, start a new division. Probably happens by 2030. I wouldn't be surprised if we had that direction. Swag pointed out in the last segment, was it St. Francis? Is that
St. Francis, yeah.
And that will be the first of many. There is speculation
Hartford
that you
did it a
get.
Couple years ago.
Sure. And not usually it's the other way. Schools are desperate to get to the Division I level to compete for the NCAA tournament and the extra money and the revenue that comes with it. And you're going to see a lot of schools that just say it's not, we can't handle this. We don't have the revenue sharing capabilities in order to even function. And so we're going to head back down to a lower level. And so I think you're going to see more and more in that of college athletics. But one of the trends right now that's going on, and I talked about Izzo in the last segment, and he's getting asked about, hey, you're getting ready for the Sweet 16, and how are you handling the transfer portal? It is absolute insanity. We can all agree that the transfer portal, one, exists this time of year, especially during the NCAA tournament. It should be the end of your season. No other sport has to deal with open free agency in the middle of their year. It's not the NFC championship game and NFL free agency opens and guys are opting out of their deals with two games to go maybe in the season. So it's a very unique thing, and I do think it will go away. Eventually we'll get a hold on this. But I've seen a lot of coaches complain about, there was a coach yesterday who talked about how he feels like a glorified junior college. Like, I can find the guys, and then I lose the guys. They leave immediately, and they're getting offered insane amounts of money, and that's all this chatter out there. You gave the number of about 1,200 kids so far in the spring transfer portal window for college basketball.
Yeah, it's roughly 25% of D1
players.
It's
a huge
players,
number, man.
Scholarship players.
Oregon State's been hit by it. They've had a wave of guys hit the portal in the last 24 hours.
I know a few pilots. I've seen their
couple
names.
Pilots have entered. Mookie Cook at Oregon, a former five-star recruit who we talked about at the end of the season. He has entered the transfer portal. Here's the one thing that will always give me a hard time with this topic, though, because I understand the complaint about the system and the amount of kids who are just running for greener pastures, when for a lot of them, if we're being honest, greener pastures don't necessarily exist. A lot of these guys go into the portal, they get washed out, you go to a place, you don't get what you thought you were going to get, you don't have a spot lined up. You know, the top-notch guys will get tampered with and told, hey, if you come here, we'll pay you X, come play for me right away. And those guys land immediately. And you've already started to see some of the names get out of the transfer portal and find their new school. Those guys knew where they were going initially. For a lot of these kids, it's just bad advice. It's an agent that's telling them, hey, I think you're worth this much, or hey, you should play more. Mookie Cook is an interesting example of this. Like, the kid's a five-star talent. He barely saw the floor in 2 years at Oregon. Now, that upset some Oregon fans, but maybe there's this landing spot for him where he finds and plays great. He was a former highly rated high school recruit, so that guy might go on to a better spot. We'll see. But a lot of these kids have a hard time doing that. What I roll my eyes at a little bit, though, is when I hear these coaches make these comments about the system and how it's chaos and I feel like a glorified JUCO. The coach who made that comment is currently being looked at for bigger coaching jobs. And this is the hardest part that I have. I just roll my eyes at some of this stuff. Like, for all the complaints about the players who are leaving smaller programs for bigger programs and all the big fish are just eating the little fish, why has this never been the thing about coaches? Do we realize how many coaches have left programs to go to bigger jobs this offseason?
It's already like 7-8 and the dominoes keep falling.
The dominoes keep falling. Ben McCollum at Drake, he's now at Iowa, just did his press conference yesterday. He was asked, hey, are you going to play Drake? He said, no, it's not worth it. DeVries, I know West Virginia is not a small job, but he bounces from West Virginia to go to Indiana after 1 year at, where was he at? Was he at Drake too? Where was DeVries at the year before that?
I forgot where he came from. Maybe he was the guy at Drake before.
He was there for he was at West Virginia for 1 year, and then he bounces to go to Indiana. We have Texas hiring away Sean Miller. Xavier, not a small job, but Texas a much bigger job.
Xavier gets Richard Pitino from New Mexico.
From New Mexico. You had the head coach from Colorado State just land the job at Minnesota. Like, this is just the tip of the iceberg of how many of these guys have left. And this is why, like, you can complain all you want about the landscape and the transfer portal and NIL, and I totally get it, but
needs to
there's
stop.
No guardrails for coaches doing this either. No. There is a free agency system.
Now, they do have contracts, and there are buyouts, and there's stuff And I think what the hope is, once the House settlement goes through and everybody has their fingers crossed that they will figure something out that everybody can live with and stop suing everybody. And we can now, the question will be, now that the NIL money can flow through the schools and they can use it, will there be contracts with players for the NIL? And you could possibly see them initially being like 2-year deals.
Yeah.
It's like, come here, be here for 2 years. Let's not go through this crap.
Well, to add to that, to your comment on the coaches, like if you want to leave after a year, there's a buyout in your contract.
Right.
There, a school's got to pay the other school X amount of money, whatever it is in your contract, to say, if you go to them and say, hey, this school is recruiting me and they want me to come play for them and you want to go play for them, you got to buy out in your deal.
So, but hope that will tone it down. You're never going to subdue it.
No.
So.
Yeah, Ryan Odom just left VCU to go to Virginia. That's another name. Like we had Will Wade actively coaching a team in the tournament in McNeese who pulled off one of the 12-5 upsets of the opening round, who was already left. He had already gone. We already knew he was leaving for the other job.
I think the coaches and the players and everybody inside the game, they understand the current climate way better than the fans and the media do. Like, it's not... It's frustrating, but I think they've accepted it. They don't like it.
Sure.
But they've accepted it, and they are moving on to, okay, how do I navigate in this arena right now and try to, you know, put a team together and have any level of success?
Yeah.
They're a step or two ahead of where the fans are in digesting everything.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It reminds me of when I hear college football coaches complain about their players hitting the portal and nobody's committed anymore.
Like,
and why don't you want
to
work through it?
That three other schools.
Right. And like, they're not taking transfer portal guys from other schools. You're just eating a smaller fish too. So you're doing the same exact thing. And look, it's a part of the beast. You know, everybody's got, you're losing players, you got to find a way to replace them. I understand that. But it rings a little hollow to me when I hear, I'm not defending the overall system. It just rings hollow to me when I hear coaches complain about this stuff, because the second they get a call from Indiana or Michigan State or Syracuse or Virginia or whatever job you want to throw in there, they're going to leave. And that's always been, every time, we'll get to it in the final hour. There's been this thought of, do we miss the Cinderella story? Do we miss the underdog? Where is the underdog in this year's March Madness? How many of the Cinderella story coaches, this is a fun trivia question to look up, because there's really only one that stands out in my mind. Maybe there's more. How many of the true Cinderella, like, oh my God, VCU, George Mason, go through all the lists, St. Peter's, Florida Gulf Coast. How many of those coaches stayed around the next year to coach their team? And how many of them, immediately after having their moment in the sun, winning a tournament game or two, jumped to a bigger program for a bigger payday and a bigger job? Because the only one that I can think of that has remained consistent is Mark Few. Now, Gonzaga is no longer a Cinderella.
No.
But at one point, they were a Cinderella.
Oh, he had opportunities to
He's
go
had
all
offers
sorts of
every offseason to go.
There
and
for
he stayed loyal.
30 years.
How many other guys could. Andy Enfield had the year with Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Where was he at 3 months later?
Yep.
USC.
Yeah, Dusty May went to Michigan. Shaka Smart went
left.
To, where'd he go first?
I think he went to Texas, and then he bailed on Texas.
And then was it Jim Larrañaga who took
George
Mason and went to Miami?
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is why I kind of roll my eyes at it. Not defending the overall land. Coaches have been doing this forever. The second you have your moment to capitalize and cash in, it's a free market system, man. I can't blame anybody for wanting to go get paid somewhere else.
Yeah.
These coaches have always been doing it. So a little hypocritical to me to see all the complaints from them, because the second they get the offer to go coach at NC State, guess what they're doing?
Sure.
They're signing on the dotted line, just like their players would if they got an offer to go play at Villanova or Indiana or whatever. St. John's, whatever school is going to come after you. So a little hypocritical to me, not defending the overall system. I would like to see it cleaned up. I think buyouts is a great – contracts and buyouts are a great way to try
to
solve this
problem.
Yeah,
once the schools – if the schools can orchestrate the deals and negotiate them, I think there will be a little more structure to it.
If you
want to
sign a one-year deal and risk it, then sign a one-year deal. If you want a three-year guaranteed deal, then you got a three-year – if I want to get rid of you, there's a buyout. I got to pay you out. If you want to transfer, another school's got to pay us for a – there's got to be a financial punishment system. system. Because your point on coaches, it's fair. There's a buyout. The other school's got to pay the other one. They're getting at least a little bit of money for losing their coach. There needs to be that system for players as well. Let's get to the Blazers. They played last night. They took on Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell for the Cavs. The Blazers come up short. We'll talk about it, what happened in the rest of the NBA in terms of how it impacts their landscape. We'll get into that next on 1080 The Fan. All right, a couple thoughts here at the fan text line. 503-864-6326. But I know you can also say what up on the YouTube chat. We're live on YouTube every single morning. A lot of just good, everybody's just cordial, just good mornings today. Everybody's in a good mood, I guess. Maybe the sunshine did it. Everybody just,
I hope so.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
You didn't get out and get some vitamin D yesterday.
Got that? You got to get that D.
You got to get the D.
I got that D yesterday.
Yeah.
Couple thoughts here. Good one that people pointed out. Brad Stevens. Touche. Fair. That's a name that I think I didn't quite put him there because he did end up leaving, well, obviously.
Went to the NBA.
He went to the NBA. Different. Didn't go to a bigger college job. Totally,
but he didn't leave immediately. No.
So they went to the title game in 09, 010.
Yeah, back-to-back title
10 games. And 11. And then he was at Butler for two more years. Yeah. They had a CBI semifinal after that second championship run. And then they were in the round of 32. I do remember that bombshell when he was hired by Boston of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What? That was a big deal. But that's fair. I mean, he stuck around for a couple of years after that, so that's totally a fair one. Tanner says, I agree the NCAA contracts and buyouts make things way cleaner, and I think they would have already done that if it weren't for the hesitancy to make student-athletes actual employees. No doubt about it. Collective bargaining is a big part of this. You know, minimum salaries, a lot of stuff you got to figure out here. I don't like when coaches complain about something that they've always done. That's just the part that rings
Phil Martelli
all over me,
might be another one.
Phil Martelli's a good one.
St. Joe's, they got hot there for a day.
What's the St. Mary's coaching situation?
Bennett?
He's been there forever, right?
He's been there.
So they haven't had a deep, deep tournament run in a while, but he's been around. So I'm sure he gets sniffed around every offseason.
Yeah.
So good gig. So, you know, there's a handful of guys that have stayed loyal. Just like, hey, there's a handful of guys who have stayed loyal as players, too. And I'm going to get to that tomorrow. There was a funny graphic put out of the Sweet 16 teams remaining where the players on in the starting lineup started their college career. And it's a funny graphic to look at the logos and how many schools have had a majority of guys who are homegrown versus, you know, maybe one player started at your program. So we'll get to that coming up tomorrow. About Tony Bennett's a great one, too, at Washington State, right when he led Washington State on a tournament run. Boom, I'm off to Virginia. See you later. He won a national championship there. Can't knock him. Can't knock any of these guys for taking, you know, advantage of the opportunity.
Huh.
But that's exactly what players are trying to do right
now.
You
can't have highly motivated, skilled, ambitious people who
get offered a bigger job and a bigger payday and say no. And that's the whole argument of players. It's a free market system. If you're getting offers to go make $2 million a year, who is the kid who was the sprinkle kid from Utah State that followed him?
Great Osabor.
I mean, not a great investment because they finished 18th out of 18th. People don't forget in the Big Ten. But if you're going to go make $2 million to play college basketball, like, what's that guy's NBA future? He's like a 6'9 center.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do with the next level. Go make $2 million.
Plus,
you're hanging out in Seattle. Ogden. Although you did have to finish 18th out of 18th. People don't forget. Blazers and Cavs last night. I know you missed the game. Look, they lost.
I was following the score, and it was, okay, you were down 10. Oh, you got it to within 4. Nah, it's back to 10.
Kind of fireworks right out of the gate. Bad second quarter.
I hope fans realize, and you pointed this out, like this stretch of games against some of these top teams, and some of them the Blazers have won, but they're resting.
The Celtics
rested three of their top five guys.
Yes, you didn't have to play Jokic in Denver.
Spider Mitchell didn't play.
Last time they were in Cleveland, remember that great game in Cleveland a couple weeks ago on a Sunday or whatever it was? Didn't play in that game
didn't
either.
Didn't play in that game either.
And Cleveland won that game. Portland could have won it. But
so before we start,
John Morant didn't play when Memphis was in town.
I've made this joke a number of times. Nobody develops 7, 8, and 9 guys like the Blazers.
That's exactly what we have right now. Last night, I'm not going to complain. They lost the game. That's all I'm rooting for at this point. It was a big night in the standings because Miami lost. You're now only a half game behind San Antonio and Miami for the 8th worst record in the NBA.
Yeah.
A half. It's right there. It's within reaching distance. You just got to put a little effort forth in the final 9 games. You're now 3.5 behind Phoenix. Phoenix, I believe, has 10 games left, so they got a game in hand.
Phoenix, they look like they're intent. They're going to catch. They're going to get the last play in
spot. If Phoenix just goes in their last 10 games, they find a way to go 5-5. They're going to get it.
Mavericks are
unless Anthony Davis carries them.
Unless AD comes back and just goes on
dominant
heater.
Yeah. And Portland now starts a long road trip.
Yeah.
The only takeaway from last night, honestly, watching the game, and this is, you know, this is the frustration for me, is that there are these little positives throughout the course of the season that I try not to lose sight of because I am frustrated with the overall roster design and missed opportunity.
Glad they're playing most of their young guys starting at this point to see.
Yeah. Played 32 minutes and looked damn good last night? Donovan Klingon.
Yes.
He had a hell of a game, man. Yep. He was knocking down threes last night. He made a couple of threes or leaving them open. He's like, all right, what
the
hell? I'll take the shot.
Yeah.
Been working on it all year. He had 12 boards in 32 minutes. Like,
Ant and Shaden couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
They could not. No, they were a combined 2 of 15 from threes. Scoot had a great night off the bench. I could go 2 for 15. I feel like I could go 2 for 15. There's little positives there, right? Like, Donovan Klingon potentially solving an answer for you at a position. Yes. Like, this is what you were looking for out of the season with the hopes of also adding a top 5 draft pick to it.
Exactly.
Because you need a star. But you feel like, hey, there's something there. His head is not falling off.
Be all about conditioning.
Getting in better shape so you can play 30 minutes a night next year.
He'll work on the normal set of skills that he'll work on, but I think...
There's something there. There's a block of clay that you can... I feel like mold in this.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to be a depoy? Is he going to be an all? Like, no, but can he be a good starting center in the NBA that's going to be a good defensive center?
Look at
center,
the career Brooke threes. Lopez has had.
Yes. Can you move, pop a little bit, you know, play a little bit of defense, block some shots.
Hit some threes. He'll develop that range, defenses out. You can't ignore him.
Exactly.
He's just got to be able to play 28, 30 minutes a night.
You know, not a lot to talk about. Donovan Mitchell didn't play. Portland trailed essentially the entire game. Entertaining game. Scoot had a nice night off the bench. It was a loss, so no complaints from me this morning. Kling and play great. So, hey, that's a win-win-win-win-win in my mind. And now you're only a half game ahead behind, however you want to define it, San Antonio and Miami for the 8th worst record in the NBA. It's right there, Blazers.
You got a road trip, 5 games, starts with the Kings.
Right there.
I think Sabonis is back, but I'm not positive.
For the love of God, I hope he's back. I'm sure, though, because it's the Blazers, he's not going to play.
The Knicks are scrambling. They're going to look at the Blazers as, you know, the only – well, the Bulls all of a sudden decided –
Are the Bulls winning games? Chicago's winning games?
The Lakers out the other night.
What?
Put like 140-something on the Lakers.
Chicago's winning games right now? What the hell are they doing? What are you thinking, Chicago? This isn't winning season.
Dudes, I think, like, the end of the bench, they're playing for contracts.
I mean, it's great for Portland. They are 8-2 in the last 10.
Yeah, well, you've got a team, and they threw in the towel, but now you've got young guys that are playing for contracts.
A little desperate.
No motivation, like some dollars.
Yeah, Portland is a half game better or worse than Chicago. So Chicago's right, you know, next to us in the standings. San Antonio and Miami, those four teams kind of clumped together, could end up anywhere from the 8th worst record in the NBA to the 12th worst record in the NBA. And let me tell you, buddy, there is a big difference in odds from the 8th worst record in the league to the 12th worst record in the league. So go out and get it, Portland.
So, yeah, you've got Kings, Knicks, Hawks, Raptors, Bulls on the road.
None of those are a guarantee.
Just the one back-to-back is the final two.
Okay.
So at the Bulls is a back-to-back.
And you only got 9 games to go in the regular season.
And then you have the Spurs at home. That'll be a tank off.
Yeah.
At the Jazz. Nobody tanks like the Jazz.
Nobody tanks like the Jazz.
And then you've got Golden State and the Lakers at home.
And what are they playing for?
But... yeah, it's a jumble in the middle. Are they playing for home court?
They could be.
Yeah.
Last 2 games of the regular season, they very well could have something on the line. So, nice loss last night, Portland. Thank you for the effort. I appreciate it. Kling and play great.
You can dream, Dirt. I can dream.
Let me continue to dream, baby. Let's get to the second hour of the show, shall we, on a Wednesday. Interesting thing happened yesterday. Is this the end? That's where I kind of want to start. Did this move the needle for you in sports? Something happened last night. I'm curious, did anybody care? Was it that big of a deal? We're getting spicy in New York. That happened yesterday afternoon.
Spicy.
So we got to talk about that. What the hell are the Giants doing? The Patriots added a wide receiver, got some NFL stuff to get to. We'll start, though. Is this the end? Is this his last chance? And is it over? Second hour is next on The Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.